Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I hope all of you are having a fantastic Tuesday, wherever you may be across this great country or great land. Encourage you to go subscribe to the podcast. If you are having trouble getting the podcast update, unsubscribe, then resubscribe. It's amazing, probably just a coincidence. But as the power and growth of this show continues, particularly in the podcast universe, where we are poised to set another new high for September all time for this show in terms of downloads, and we appreciate all of you listening live as well in all 50 states, seems like there always seem to be some obstacles that come up. Big tech not always really that fond of us being able to talk to as many of you as we are. So just be aware of that. Know that we are putting the podcast up every day and search it out. Click refresh if you're having issues. Might have to unsubscribe, resubscribe. Seems like that happens an awful lot to non-far left-wing media in this country. Probably just a coincidence. We're joined now by Congressman Jim Jordan from Ohio, and he is a fantastic battler on the grand stage that is in the middle of so much chaos this week on Capitol Hill. Yeah. Jim, we appreciate the time, my man. What do you expect to see happen this week as it comes with the reconciliation, with infrastructure, with the debt ceiling, all that coming together this week? What's the end result in your mind?
Well, I mean, let's hope it doesn't happen. And good to be with you guys, and congrats on all the success and amazing show you have. Let's see what happens, but let's hope it doesn't. The only thing they get passed is, you know, some bill to keep the government open, and we fund it at current levels, which are frankly bad enough, not at these ridiculous spending levels they're proposing. So we're just going to see. I mean, it's frankly going to be up to Nancy Pelosi, and if she can get the votes, they typically do, but I hope they don't. This would be the first chance that we actually slow down their crazy agenda and all the bad things they've done in the 9 months where they've controlled the federal government.
Do here. I mean, it feels sometimes like we're going to talk about this a lot, but the debt ceiling, we've seen this fight play out before. It always gets raised one way or another. The budget bill looks like it's going to get passed one way or another. So is the best we can hope for just the pressure to bring some changes so that we get from, they keep saying $3.5 trillion. I'm hearing it's really all in, more like $5 trillion. We just pare that down a little bit. I mean, what, I don't know if we could talk about victory, but what does a best effort look like from the GOP side with this budget mess?
Well, the best effort would be the 1.2 that supposedly got a little bit of real infrastructure in it, that doesn't pass on Thursday. That's the date she's now given. So hopefully that doesn't pass on Thursday. If that doesn't pass on Thursday, then the so-called moderate Democrats in the House aren't going to be willing to support a 3.5 because the hardcore progressives, the hard left in their conference won't support the 1.2. And nothing happens other than they just fund the government for some length of time at current levels, what's typically called around this town is the continuing resolution. So you fund government at the current levels, which would be much better than what they're proposing. So I hope that's the end game, and that we never get to this, certainly never get to this 3.5. But that's going to, in the end, depend on, you know, a lot on what happens in the Senate, too, with Senator Manchin, Senator Sinema, and those who have said they're not going to go for that level of spending.
What are you hearing and what do you expect when all the rubber kind of meets the road here as it pertains to Manchin and Sinema? There are reports that Sinema has said, hey, she doesn't want any tax increases at all. Manchin certainly has said, hey, I don't feel comfortable at $3.5 trillion, even though the cost is higher than that, but at that number, and he might want it at one. Manchin also has said, hey, I don't even want to do this now. Let's wait and see where we are, maybe after the first of the year. If you were kind of crystal ball gazing here, Congressman, how do you see this shaking out?
Well, yeah, it's hard to say. You just don't know what she's going to be able to get, what Speaker Pelosi is going to be able to get her conference to do this week. Again, I think the American people are done with all this. They've seen, you know, I say every policy area they've screwed up. We went from secure border to chaos. We went from stable prices to record inflation. We went from, you know, respect around the globe to what happened in the debacle in Afghanistan. And we went from safe cities. I mean, every policy area they've screwed up. So I think what the American people want is don't go raising our taxes, increasing spending, making the economy worse than you've already done. So I think that's what the American people want. I don't know what they're going to be able to get. I really don't know. Remember, the vote was supposed to happen yesterday, the vote on the $1.2 trillion package.
That's right.
So Pelosi's already misled her own members. She promised them to get through a crisis a few weeks back. She promised them the vote was going to be yesterday, and that didn't happen. Now she's promising it's going to be Thursday. So we'll see how this all shakes out. But the truth is, nobody knows. What we only thing we do know is everything they have done has been a disaster. So let's hope that this is not the same thing.
We're speaking to Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio. And Congressman, we have seen images coming out of the U.S.-Mexico border in the last week and a half or so that has finally got people paying attention to it, because they can visualize what it means to have a lawless and de facto open border. The numbers, though, have been staggering all summer. It looks like the Senate is not going to be able to get through amnesty through reconciliation, thanks to the parliamentarian saying, no, that's not actually giving mass amnesty is not a budgetary measure. But where do you think this political divide over illegal immigration goes? And do you think it plays a major role in the upcoming midterms as a real weakness for the Biden administration?
Of course it does. We had Secretary Mayorkas, Buck, say last week, he said in front of the Congress, oh, the border is secure. And you're like, what are you people talking about? We got a briefing. The Judiciary Committee got a briefing last week from people in the Biden administration. We asked the sort of fundamental question, where are they? Where are the Haitian immigrants? Where are they at? How many are in the country? How many are sent back? They couldn't even tell us where everyone was at. And they even said this. They said, oh, some of them, we think, turned around and went back on their own. And I wanted to just laugh on the phone call. I'm like, what are you talking? So they make this 1,000-mile trek or whatever it is, and they get here, oh, we'll just turn around and go back because of there's some Border Patrol agents on horses or what. I mean, it's crazy the things they say. And the idea that now there were 15,000 under the bridge a week and a half ago, we don't know where they're all at, and there's another 15,000 to 20,000 to 30,000 coming in a caravan. And they have no clue how they're going to deal with this. So, yes, this is going to have an impact on the next election, because Americans are tired of this administration not being honest with them, not being honest with them on the border security issue, not being honest with them on COVID, on natural immunity, on all this other stuff. They're sick of the lie. So, heck yeah, it's going to play out in the election. I think we're going to take back the House in a big way.
How much fear do you think there is when you see Joe Biden's approval rankings tanking like they are, basically across, Congressman, all facets, right? We talked about earlier in the show that he's lost the public trust on COVID, certainly on the economy. Democrats just don't even seem to understand the very rubrics or basics of how our economy works. Where does this lead, right? And the answer might be to a majority in the House, which would be great, and a majority in the Senate. But is Joe Biden going to be able to lead basically after this year? Where are we headed?
No, it's bad where we're headed. You're right. Economically, they got the dumbest plan in history. Their plan is lock down the economy, spend like crazy, pay people not to work, tell people you can't be evicted if you don't pay your rent. And then for everyone who is paying their rent and everyone who is working, oh, by the way, we're going to raise your taxes. Literally the dumbest economic plan you could ever see. And then what do they do also? Oh, they're telling people, particularly in New York yesterday, they're telling people, oh, you were heroes a year ago, healthcare workers, but now we're going to fire you if you don't do what government says, even if you have natural immunity. Totally stupid. That's their economic plan. So, of course, there are people who got some common sense in the Democrat Party, a few of them at least, who are saying this is crazy. And you saw a few people vote against some of this package over the last few weeks that they were putting together, this $3.5 trillion package. You saw some of them vote against it because they got at least some common sense and they go, oh, the folks I represent are seeing all the baloney that we're doing. They're not going to be pleased with this. How am I going to win re-election? So, yeah, it's having an impact. Joe Biden hasn't led the first 9 months when he controls Congress, when his party controls Congress. I don't know how he's going to lead at all when we take back the House and the Senate next year.
Congressman Jordan, we obviously want to focus as much as we can here on the way forward in the future, but there are some unfinished bits of business from the past that I do know many in our audience want resolution of, want clarity on, and that certainly includes what we now know more than ever. I mean, we've known it for years. Was the Russia collusion hoax under the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. There is an ongoing probe, right? The Durham investigation, the former U.S. attorney from Connecticut leading this. There has been an indictment now of a lawyer who essentially was laundering Clinton campaign oppo research to the FBI and lying about it. That's the allegation. So we're starting to see the real origins of this. Do you think there's more coming in the Durham probe? And do you think there'll be any real accountability for what was done to the Trump administration?
No, great question. I'm cautiously optimistic, and I'll tell you why. Because remember, the indictment on the false statement to the FBI wasn't a false statement made to John Durham by Mr. Zussman. It wasn't a false statement made to Durham's investigative team. It was I said to someone last week, I said it wasn't a false statement, it was the false statement. It was the false statement made to the FBI, Jim Baker, the chief counsel at the FBI, on September 16th, 2016, when this whole charade began. So Durham's gone all the way back to the beginning and said, what you guys did started on a false statement made to not anybody, but the chief counsel of the FBI, Mr. Baker. That's pretty significant. So, and it was, plus it was a 27-page indictment. These normal false statements, the FBI are, you know, a couple page thing. Okay, they lied to the investigative team doing the investigation. That's not the case here. So I think that's unique. I think that's distinctive. And that says something when you see a 27-page indictment. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but we'll have to wait and see. The problem, of course, was we would hope for this information from Durham a year and a half ago, and now we're getting it now, but we'll just have to see.
And what do you make, Congressman, before we let you go, and we appreciate Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio spending some time with us here on the Clay and Buck Show. Why can't we see, if not all, certainly most of the footage from the so-called insurrection on January 6th. That's people ask me that, and I, you know, with an intel background, I say that smells fishy to me.
Yeah, well, you saw the judge did release some of it last week
in that case,
and I thought that was a good thing. Look, the hallmark of a free society and free government is there's transparency. You can't have Hillary Clinton saying, oh, no, my emails, you're not going to get to see those, even though they were supposed to. You can't have all this stuff. You have Jim Comey. You can't have unelected people like Milley and Fauci making decisions. The hallmark of how our system is supposed to work is transparency in accordance with the Constitution. So I'm for releasing all that information to make sure that Americans can see it so we know exactly what took place. And I'm also for anyone who did wrong to be held accountable. If you did wrong that day on January 6th, you should be prosecuted. And guess what? That's exactly what's happening to those people who did wrong. That's the way it's supposed to work in our country, and we want to make sure it continues to do so.
Congressman Jordan, always appreciate you coming by to hang out with us, sir. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Great, guys. Take care.
I want to see gold delivered to your doorstep. It's an investment I believe in, owning gold. And the best way to start is by taking possession of this long-sought-after commodity and holding your investment in your hand. Of course, I want you to store it safely in your home under lock and key. But first things first, holding it is something special. In today's world of uncertainty, on the eve of $5 trillion in federal money printing and spending, and with inflation certain to follow, it's a function of math, you need to do this for yourself. My partners at the Oxford Gold Group have precious metals that can be delivered to your home. This is one of the best forms of protection for your savings that you can do yourself. Buying real gold is not complicated. My friends at the Oxford Gold Group make it clear and simple and enjoyable. They will explain everything to you. Having real gold delivered to your home or having real gold as part of your IRA, it's just a phone call away with Oxford Gold. Call them at 833-404-GOLD and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. Call Oxford at 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D.
Welcome back to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Hope you enjoyed our chat there with Jim Jordan, congressman from Ohio. Great guy. Clay and I are both thinking he does really good work. He's just a solid dude. I think that's how you could describe Jim. I like Jim. And if you missed it, please go to clayandbuck.com. We have updates from the show, stories, show prep, videos, behind the scenes. You can also become an EIB 24/7 subscriber. And we post special videos and things you won't see elsewhere at clayandbuck.com. So, Afghanistan. A little bit of attention put on Afghanistan today because of some testimony up on Capitol Hill. And General Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was testifying. The CENTCOM commander, McKenzie, was saying, let's start with that, actually. Here he is saying that, you know, because we're all looking back at this debacle of the withdrawal and how it went down the way that it did. CENTCOM Commander McKenzie is saying that they wanted to leave 2,500 troops.
I won't share my personal recommendation to the president, but I will give you my honest opinion, and my honest opinion and view shaped my recommendation. I recommended that we maintain 2,500 troops in Afghanistan, and I also recommended earlier in the fall of 2020 that we maintain 4,500 at that time. Those are my personal views. I also have a view that the withdrawal of those forces would lead inevitably to the collapse of the Afghan military forces and eventually the Afghan government.
Clay, this is something that's going to be debated a lot because the Biden administration has now tried to say that unless they withdrew on the previously agreed to timetable, the Taliban was going to engage in a major offensive, which would have brought U.S. troops into combat in a substantial way, But if that's the case, then the 2,500 number doesn't really make sense, because the 2,500 can work to support Afghan forces that were fighting, which, as we know, all melted away and stopped fighting very rapidly. But that only worked as long as the ceasefire was in place between the U.S. and the Taliban, which had been in place for a long time since the Trump administration. If it was going to be open warfare with the Taliban, we're going to need more than 2,500 troops. But if what the Biden administration says is true, then why were the generals saying leave behind 2,500 troops? You see what I'm saying? Doesn't make sense. Something's up.
Yeah. And honestly, I think we've caught Joe Biden in another lie, Buck, because if you play 26 cut 26 here, you just heard the statements from McKenzie about wanting 2,500 troops. On August 19th, Joe Biden told George Stephanopoulos exactly the opposite of that. He's basically saying his generals never said that, so somebody's lying here, and it sounds like to me it's Biden.
Your top military advisors warned against withdrawing on this timeline. They wanted you to keep about 2,500 troops.
No, they didn't. It was split. That wasn't true. That wasn't true.
They didn't tell you that they wanted troops to stay?
No, not in terms of whether we were going to get out in a time frame all troops. They didn't argue against that.
So no one told your military advisors did not tell you, no, we should just keep 2,500 troops. It's been a stable situation for the last several years. We can do that. We can continue to do that.
No, no one said that to me that I can recall.
Joe Biden, first of all, what he can recall, to be fair, an open question.
He really may not recall.
I'm being honest with everybody. There's no joke. I don't remember. We could all understand that might be reality. Nonetheless, it does not make us sleep soundly at night in this country. But anyway, beyond that, Clay, someone's lying. I mean, either Joe doesn't remember or someone's lying. I'm not sure which one's better or worse.
I think Joe Biden's lying. And I think it's also possible. I mean, again, I think Joe Biden's defense for a lot of these lies is honestly his incompetence and his failed mental state. I was looking at this. We need to talk. We talked about the Axios poll and how no one trusts Joe Biden anymore. I snagged this because I looked at it and I was like, this is crazy. 56% of people right now, Buck, don't believe that Joe Biden has mental faculties capable of being president. 56%, according to the most recent poll that is out there analyzing his overall mental state. And frankly, I question who the 44% are.
Keep in mind, we've reached that number with 95% of the media willing to lie in favor of Joe Biden's mental state. So think about what it would be if we had an honest media.
No, it's very well said. I mean, it's a total and complete joke. Opposite of a total and complete joke, how about my guy Mike Lindell? He invented MyPillow, and they started it all with the MyPillow, but they've got towel sets, slippers, robes, mattress toppers, Giza sheets, lots of great products out there. You can trust Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. And I got to talk about these sheets for a minute. Made from the world's best cotton Giza, ultra soft, breathable, yet extremely durable with a luxurious finish. You can get them in multiple colors, styles, and sizes. And for a limited time, the Giza Dream Sheets are buy one, get one free with the promo code Clay and Buck. All MyPillow products, 60-day money-back guarantee. You can go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials. You can get these Giza Dream Sheets, which we love in my house and have on every bed here. Buy one, get one free. All you have to do is put the code Clay and Buck in or call 800-792-3269. Go to MyPillow today. Get hooked up with these amazing Giza Dream Sheets. You'll be glad that you did. Encourage you to go download the podcast. Keep us in the top 10 news podcasts. That's where we are right now. You can search out my name, Clay Travis. You can search out Buck Sexton. You may have to subscribe more than one time because the show's getting popular enough and having conversations that make some of the powers that be uncomfortable. So that is not a big surprise, but you may have to search that a little bit harder than you ordinarily would. As we talked with Congressman Jim Jordan at the top of hour two here of the program about what's going on with the budget, one of the big issues I think that's going on as we work our way through this budget process is every year the Democratic Party has become more and more divorced from the idea of understanding basic business. And I'm going to play a couple of clips here from people who just don't understand the basic rules of economics. And not surprisingly, Jen Psaki leading the charge of the Biden administration on this $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill. She was asked about the possibility of taxes going up, basically through the charges for products rising because of taxes going up for corporations. And I want you to listen to her completely illogical response to that question.
The Joint Committee on Taxation say more than 16% of taxpayers would see their taxes increase under the bill that's approved by the House Ways and Means Committee. Will the president sign that bill, or will he insist on the changes so that he will maintain his commitment that taxes won't go up on people making $400,000 a year?
I have not looked at the document. Obviously, the president's commitment remains not raising taxes for anyone making less than $400,000 a year. There are some, and I'm not sure if this is the case in this report, who argue that in the past, companies have passed on these costs to consumers. I'm not sure if that's the argument being made in this report. We feel that that's unfair and absurd, and the American people would not stand for that.
Well, that's what business does, Jen Psaki. When their costs increase, in order to make a profit, they have to increase what they are charging customers, or else they lose money. That's the very foundation of basic level business knowledge. And I don't care whether Jen Psaki thinks, Buck, it's unfair and absurd that that's the basic rule of capitalism, but this is the kind of lack of knowledge we're dealing with.
Principle for an economy in the hands of social justice warriors should be a terrifying thing to everybody, because they do not understand. I mean, the basics of supply and demand, of costs, they ignore this stuff constantly. I mean, the Democrats are really the Americans, largely now the American Socialist Party, or they share a lot of DNA and a lot of hopes and dreams with what we would consider straight up European socialists. And all you have to do is, you know, you look to our south and you see a country, for example, like Venezuela or Cuba. But Venezuela is the example I have in mind, where if you run an economy on fair, as in on social justice, right? These are terms that are used on equity, right? You run it, not equity like the stocks that one trades, but on equity as in what is a fair outcome according to people in power. You get disaster. I mean, that's actually at the heart of the Venezuelan crisis, as everybody knows. The Venezuelans used to be pretty well off, certainly by South American and Western standards as a nation. They have the largest proven oil reserves in the world, larger even than Saudi Arabia. And yet it's a country that has had trouble feeding itself in recent years. And this is because, Clay, one, they instituted price controls because the rich, bad capitalists were making things too expensive. Jen Psaki, you would think from the soundbite, would say, wow, the Maduro regime, they're really about fairness, because they said, you know, a dishwasher doesn't cost X. Let's make it cost Y, just because we say so. That was the beginning of the spiral. Also, of course, land appropriation, redistribution, government intervention, government seizure, lawlessness and crime in the streets. You know, a lot of things that Democrats in this country are comfortable with and like as a tool of policy happened in Venezuela. But, you know, Clay, it's gotten so bad there that in the last couple of weeks, the Maduro regime has had to start outsourcing to the private sector, state-run agricultural and food-producing industries, because the people are sick of what they call the Maduro diet, which is quasi-starvation. Because when you don't have incentives aligned, when you don't have people that can make a profit, that are going to benefit, and where there's no upside or downside to efficiency and doing things the right way, you get literal bread lines. Now, I know we're not quite at bread lines, folks, but if you apply the same principles and understanding, you see why what Jen Psaki says makes Clay the capitalist want to do, you know, backflips and throw things at the wall.
Yeah, and here, that's clip one from Jen Psaki. Here's clip two, where she says the $3.5 trillion reconciliation package will actually cost nothing.
There's not disagreement about the fundamentals of what we're trying to achieve. And there is agreement that we need to address the climate crisis, that we need to cut costs for childcare, for college, that we need to make it easier for women to rejoin the workforce. We need to rebuild and modernize our infrastructure. So there's agreement on that. There's a basic discussion that needs to happen, or is ongoing. We're right in the weeds of it now on what the size of the package looks like. But I will also note, and we've done this a little bit over the past couple days, but that this package, the reconciliation package, would cost $0. So what I'm saying, the case we're making here is that there needs to be agreement on the different components. There's broad agreement on the goals, and then there needs to be agreement on what the revenue pay-fors are.
That's a lie. Like, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. It's an intentional, malicious, and meaningful lie.
Yeah, and what I would say is, again, it also reflects a fundamental misunderstanding of basic economics. I mean, this is the equivalent. What the Biden administration is arguing when they say it has a cost of zero is the equivalent of saying, hey, Santa Claus buys all of the presents that he puts underneath the tree. It doesn't cost any of the families anything. You might need to turn the radio down if you have young kids in your car, because I don't want to disabuse them of their incredible notion here. But it's a fantastical reality that you would argue. It's a form of magical monetary policy, this modern monetary idea. The $3.5 trillion is coming directly out of American families' pockets, and it's being given to the government. And that $3.5 trillion, which frankly, I believe the American people could use in a more efficacious manner to grow the economy, is instead going to be given to the government and wasted, as most government programs do, on excesses which are not remotely necessary for the country to grow in a prosperous way economically. And so it's a direct lie to say that there is no cost here, that it costs zero. And it's akin to Santa Claus brings every Christmas present, and so Christmas doesn't cost anything to anybody. That's what they're basically arguing, a fantastical Santa Claus-based economic policy in the Biden White House right now.
You but always know that something is wrong when the Democrats start using words they don't have to use to describe things that otherwise would be very straightforward. You know, when they start using terms like undocumented, what does that even mean? It's a nonsense term. When they say things about the debt, Clay, or about the budget, rather, like it won't have any cost, what does that mean? When they say pay-fors, they're going to use pay-fors. There's another word for pay-fors. It's called taxes. They are changing the words they use to obscure the actual impact and intent of their policies, because the ideological left is driving the Democrat Party and they don't want the center of the country or enough of the center of the country to catch on to what's going on, such that they'll actually suffer political consequences, and the ramifications of this will not be known in time for the midterms to actually punch back at the Democrats. So that's why they're using all this. You hear all this fuzzy language. Investments. Investment is government spending, which means taking money from you and me and the people listening to this show and then spending it on things that Nancy Pelosi believes should get more funding, that, you know, address the climate crisis. There's something in this budget bill, Clay, about, and I'm not kidding, tree equity. I don't even know what tree equity is. Do you know what tree equity is?
No, I don't know what tree equity is.
I thought that
oak trees and magnolias got along really well.
Fine.
I didn't know there was lack of equity.
I didn't know that the oak trees were oppressing the maple trees or whatever. But nonetheless, tree equity is in there under the Green New Deal section, which, of course, they're calling combating climate change. The fact that she says there's agreement about all these things. There's absolutely not agreement. She's in a 50-50 divided Senate environment. She's in a handful of House seats giving the Democrats leverage. A Biden administration that is underwater. Approval ratings circling the toilet bowl. And there's agreement on everything they want to do.
On the biggest tax increase of our lives. That's where we are. And by the way, since all of you out there understand that money doesn't grow on trees, that we can't have a Santa Claus economic policy, you might want to save some money. And one way you can save $30 a month, $40 a month, $50 a month, $60 a month even for some of you, is by switching your cell phone provider to Pure Talk. Right now, $30 a month, flat rate, unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data. That's for service on the same 5G network using the exact same towers, exact same cell phone, exact same phone number as one of the big carriers. AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, you're paying way more than you need to. You need to be with Pure Talk, like my eighth grader is right now. Incredible offer. Unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data, all for just $30 a month. Buck, how do people get signed up and start saving some money?
It's so easy and it's risk-free. There's a 30-day risk-free guarantee from Pure Talk. So you have nothing to lose and, you know, maybe about $800 a year to gain, maybe a little more from your cell phone. Right now, dial #250 and say Pure Talk. You'll have the option to save 50% off your first month. That's dial pound 250 and say Pure Talk. Dial pound 250, say Pure Talk right into your phone. Thanks for rolling here with us on the Clay and Buck Show. 800-282-2882 if you want to call in. Tell us about a conundrum you may be facing for the shot or job loss situation that's playing out in a lot of states across the country right now. But one thing that we'll spend more time on in a few moments here is the increasingly obvious religious zeal with which many of the Fauciites approach all things COVID mitigation, lockdown, vaccination, all of it, and how some of us have been warning all along that this is going to be used, the same mentality of compliance and shut up, and the experts know what needs to be done here. No matter how many times they fail and how stupid they look, they know what needs to be done. And there'll be other areas of public policy that very much affect your life where the government is going to try to micromanage things for you because they're saving the planet. That's what the whole Green New Deal, climate change, catastrophism mindset's about, right? I will never forget a few years ago when Greta Thunberg was, I think, 16 at the time. She's an adult now and a public figure, so we are allowed to criticize her. One of the reasons the Democrats liked Greta Thunberg so much was that they all worshipped the child emperor of climate change. And if you said anything about how this is bizarre, she's 16, she doesn't know how a pizzeria works, never mind how the global economy should work, you were shouted at for being a child basher. That was the term. Clay, were you ever called a child basher for criticizing Greta? Because I was once or twice. And I wasn't even bashing her. I was making fun of the adults who listened to her.
Yeah, that was the whole problem. I mean, I understand. They try to paint you into a corner, right? The minute you come out and respond to someone who's stepping into the public arena and they were under the age of 18, it was like, oh my God, how dare you disagree with somebody under the age of 18, which was, again, it's kind of the Democrat plan, right? They don't actually attack the substance of what you say. They attack your yes. ability to say it. So if you criticize Black Lives Matter, it's not a criticism of Black Lives Matter. It's an endorsement of your own racism or your own white fragility. And if you said something negative about Greta Thunberg, it was a function of you hating kids, not
right.
disagreeing with her.
Which is also insane, of course, but it's yes. it's a human shield tactic, and that's why they yes. liked it. I mean, every adult who listened to Greta Thunberg when she was going to the UN and on CNN should be deeply ashamed. But I think this is great because when the left, Clay, when the crazy left goes after the crazy left, it is a highly entertaining spectacle because you're watching people that have neither principles nor sanity go after each other. And, you know, it's like the Iran-Iraq war when Kissinger said you hope they could both lose. Here is Greta, who is now an adult. So they can't play. They're like, oh, she's just a kid. Why are you? You know, remember when Asa, I love her. She was like, how dare you? And everyone was supposed to be, oh my gosh, she's challenging the world to save itself from climate change. Here she is mocking the Biden administration on climate change leadership issues.
This is not about some expensive, politically correct green act of bunny hugging or blah, blah, blah. Build back better, blah, blah, blah. Green economy, blah, blah, blah. Net zero by 2050, blah, blah, blah. Net zero by 2050, blah, blah, blah. Net zero, blah, blah, blah. Climate neutral, blah, blah, blah. This is all we hear from our so-called leaders. Words. Words that sound great, but so far has led to no action.
I mean, climate change is a religious belief for people who think they're too smart for religion, and she is a high priest of this religion. Clay, I honestly believe she could get up there and say, climate change, and then just say, blah, 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 the whole time, and people would clap in that audience like trained seals. Doesn't matter what she says.
Yeah, and we talked about this before. I mean, I literally spend no moments of my life worried about climate change.
Zero.
I mean, there are lots of things that I'm concerned about. The fact that we just had a new murder rate record of growth going back to 1960 from the FBI. The fact that we're about to have the highest tax increase of all time. The fact that we have a president who is, I believe, mentally incapable of analyzing tough decisions and understanding data to be able to make reasoned choices as it pertains to leading our nation's response to COVID. Those are just a few of the things that I think about and worry about on a day-to-day basis. Climate change, literally, I do not think about it other than when we occasionally play a clip or I scroll through the news feed and see that it's a story of the day. I turn the page. I mean, I just really don't spend any time on it at all.
I mean, I could, there's interesting conversations to be had with people about things like, you know, the U.S. role in Afghanistan. You can get into some back and forth and understand that at least there are competing values. And
that's right.
The climate change catastrophists are just Looney Tunes. I mean, they really are. I can't even have a conversation with them because it has gone into that realm of the brain where there should be, in my opinion, a relationship with God in some sense of an actual meaning beyond the here and now. They have filled it with, you know, Mother Earth and we have to protect her. But not if it means they actually have to take shorter showers. You,
yeah.
Clay,
or
have
not
to take
fly
shorter
on
showers.
Their private jets, yeah. Or not have their
they
yachts.
They get to be in the private jets. They're not going to sell you their homes on Martha's Vineyard or in Malibu at a discount for some reason, even though they think the coasts are going to be underwater in 10 years. It's so strange how that happens. We've got more COVID madness to talk about here in a moment. Our buddy Dr. Marty McCary had some thoughts on natural immunity, plus these videos of NBA players, one in particular, going mega viral. So the sports world, Clay, dominating the news world for the
who
day.
Would have known that the athletes would make more sense than the Fauciites? Love to see it, Buck. We'll play some of that for
you.
Yep.
That's all coming up in just a few minutes. Stick around, team.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.